God?
Yes.
Do you really love God?
Yes.
I really love the Lord. Sing it if you love him. Yes, I really love, I love the Lord. And you don't know what he's. Thank you, Lord. Yes, he gave me. Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love the Lord. And he watches over me. Watches over me, and you don't know what it's
done for me.
Oh yes, he gave me
victory.
Yes, and that's why I love. Oh, I love him. I really love. I love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done. Thank you, Lord. Oh yes, he gave me, and that's why I, yes, I love him. I really love, I love the Lord. And you don't know what he's done for me. Thank you, Lord. Yes, he gave
me the victory.
Oh, and that's why I love the Lord. I love him. Yes, if you're visiting with us this morning, you're truly our honored guest here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. We elders will acknowledge all of our visitors at the end of our worship service, and we just thank you for being with us this morning to worship our great God in heaven. If you didn't have a good week this past week, thank the Lord, it's over. And today is the first day of the week, and we will worship the Lord this day. This is the day the Lord has made, and we'll be glad in it. Amen. If you will, this morning, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Luke in the New Testament, the book of Luke. The chapter is 1, beginning at verse number 1. If you want to give this lesson a title, a closer look at the Gospel of Luke, or an extended title, so that you may know the exact truth.
Yes.
So that you may know the exact truth. The book of Luke is one of four gospel books called the Gospels. Gospel meaning the good news of Jesus Christ. Four different accounts of the life and teachings of Christ. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four different accounts of the life of Christ, not contradicting, not disagreeing, but just different accounts. If someone wrote four different accounts of my life, four different people, they would write four different stories from their perspective. Doesn't mean that they would be a lie, but they're just there. If someone, one of my friends that grew up with me, might write one biography of me. Those that went to church with me might write one biography of me. My academic life may be another biography of me, but it's still all of me. And I won't go into that, but But today we're focusing on the book of Luke. If you looked at Matthew, the theme focuses kind of on the kingship of Jesus. Jesus as king, written primarily to a Jewish audience. Mark, the book of Mark, mostly primarily presents Jesus as a servant, an active action, written mainly primarily to the Roman Christians, the Gentile Christians, but it presents Jesus as servant. The book of Luke presents the humanity of Jesus, Jesus the Son of Man. The book of John, Jesus the Son of God, the godliness of Jesus. But they all agree and they all talk about the life of Jesus. Listen to Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Inasmuch, I'm reading from the New American Standard Translation. Inasmuch as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among him. Luke acknowledges that there are other writings, there are other writers and that have written, not only about the life of Jesus, about their life, his history life. And he says, as many have undertaken to compile an account of the things accomplished among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord. Luke says, just as they were handed down to us. So Luke had at his disposal some records of things that had already been written about the Christians, about the Christian life, about Jesus Christ. He says they were handed down to us. He says from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. Now, I know in particular he's talking about the apostles as they eyewitnessed the life and they worked the ministry. They served in the word of God. And I know that he's talking because Luke's account is actually a two-volume record. He's writing the book of Luke. Some of you that go to Bible class, you know this. The book of Luke and the book of Acts. And the book of Luke and book of Acts are a two-volume account. I read Acts 1:1, so you absolutely know that. But we know that he's talking about the eyewitnesses of Christ, because if you go to the book of Acts, he even says in Acts chapter 4, verse 30. Now, you have to stay with me this morning. Wake up, everybody. Stand up and wake up. Acts chapter 4. Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace. Now, Luke writes this, and he says the apostles gave great witness. He refers back to it in Luke 1:1. He says, beginning with eyewitnesses and servants of the Lord. Now, go, if you will, to Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Keep your hand on Luke 1. Acts 1:1. He says, the first account I composed. Which first account is he referring to? The book of Luke. The book of Luke. He says, the first account I composed, Theophilus, remember Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up to heaven after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. So Acts 1:1, we see he says, Theophilus, he refers back to the first account. Now go back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 1. Says, it seemed fitting for me as well, just as others have written, seems fitting to me as well, having investigated, underline investigated, everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out for you in consecutive order, in an orderly fashion, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth. From King James translations would say the certainty of those things. You may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. Theophilus had been taught. Luke, through the Holy inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this record, another record, to confirm, to reconfirm the things that had already been taught to Theophilus. And so we see here that the book of Luke is written specifically to Theophilus, as it's written to all of us. to confirm what he's already been taught. And so we come to an understanding as we look to try to glean some points from this book, how they apply to us today. Now, who is Theophilus, Brother Gary? I know somebody's thinking that. Who is Theophilus? Well, the scripture doesn't say a whole lot about his background, but it calls him most excellent Theophilus. And so that leads us to believe that Theophilus held an office of authority. In verse Luke 1:3, most excellent Theophilus. The only three other times this term is used in the book of Acts. And it says in Acts 23:26, and then in Acts 24:3, it calls Felix, who is the governor of Judea, most excellent Felix. And then it calls Festus, who took Felix's place, who replaced Felix, most excellent Festus in Acts chapter 26 and verse 25. And so we see that Theophilus is probably a Roman authority. We don't know if he was that he was governor, but he had some high charge, and Luke had access, had an ear to Theophilus, and so we can glean that Theophilus was a high official. Do politicians need the Lord? Well, listen, a whole lot of people who are in high places, they need God. And if we have an ear to individuals like that, we need to whisper Jesus to them. Because this world, wouldn't it be wonderful if President Obama was a Christian? Well, Gary, he might be a Christian. Well, who is Luke? Who is Luke now? It's because, you know, when we study this, to get a better understanding, we need to know these are real people. And we have real people in here from all different walks of life, and we bring different experiences to the table. And when we're talking to people, and when we are serious about converting someone to Christ, we need to be concerned enough to know something about them. Some of us just go talk to people and you don't know where they come from, what they've been through. Before you even get started, you already messed up. Because when we act like we don't care about people, boy, people surely don't care for what we have to say about them. But who was Luke, and what is really the purpose that he's writing this letter? Boy, I wish I... Luke is referred to in the New Testament three times, Luke. Now, he doesn't claim himself to write this book, but we listen to Colossians 4, verse 14. I want you to know more about this man, and I think you'll listen to his letter. I'm going to give a pop quiz to the teenagers in here this morning. Paul writes from Rome to Colossae. Listen to Colossians 4:14, and he says, Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So we see here Luke is a physician. And you need to know that, okay? In Philemon chapter 1, verse 23, listen, he says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. This is Paul writing to Philemon. So Luke is there with Paul. Listen to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. 2 Timothy 4:10. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. In verse 11, only Luke is with me. Yes, only Luke is with me. So we learn from these verses here about Luke. Luke is a doctor. He's a physician. So, and see, some things you can, see, you don't accidentally become a doctor. Yeah, you don't accidentally become a physician. That, you know, so you know that he has a certain discipline. And some of us, we're not doctors. Some of us might have said when we were young we wanted to be a doctor because, you know, we saw it on TV. But when they told you you had 15 years of school, you say, well, I don't. And so you decide not to be a doctor, which is nothing wrong with that. But we know that Luke is a physician. He's a doctor. So we know from these verses he's a fellow worker. Yeah, he's a fellow worker. Yeah. Amen, somebody? Yes, it gives them some credibility. And then listen to this. One of the things we learn from these verses is that when Paul, he sticks with Paul to the very end. Yeah, he sticks with him, man. Yeah, there's a friend that's closer than a brother, the scriptures say. And some of us know about friends, you know. Some people say they're your friends. But, you know, some people say they're your friends, but are they really your friends? Yeah, and when you find a friend that will, anybody ever gone through something and you might have been wrong in it, but and everybody turn their backs on you, nobody won't talk to you, but somebody stay with you. Boy, that's the person you cherish, don't you? Yeah, I'm not saying for us to be wrong, but there's some things, boy, I tell you, boy, a friend, you find a good friend. Oh, my goodness, you found a good thing when you found a good friend. And then we know also that he is beloved by the Apostle Paul. He's beloved, and he's beloved for his faithfulness. Yeah, Luke was an accident that he. So we see from Luke's commitment to the apostles' teaching, it's evidence in Paul's love for his partnership. And his intellectual competence is evidence because he's a physician, and so we know that he had to have some gray matter. And you know, some of us have given more than others, but it's to be noted that because it makes Luke a prime candidate to be used by God for this eternal purpose of writing this record, not only to Theophilus, to us. Because he could think right, and not only, see, when you find a smart man or woman who is faithful to God, that is a powerful tool that can be used to the glory and honor of God. And I would challenge not only our young, but we in this church, we have some sharp intellectual minds. Who have the difference? See, some of us we are smart, but we can't put it to paper. You know what I mean? See, you know, I like to read, and I've written more in the last 5 years than I have probably in all of my life. But you know, you have to have discipline to be able to pass it on, and to be able to teach and instruct others in an organized fashion. And the church needs more individuals to use their wonderful, outstanding gifts to glorify God. And Luke was a physician. But that was secondary to his dedication to God. And I think that's to be commended by Dr. Luke, if you will, in the secular sense. But in the spiritual sense, he is Brother Luke. And God used him just as God can use all of us. Amen. Now, I don't want to put anybody above anybody else, because the primary prerequisite for God using anybody is that you are faithful to him. Amen. You remember in Genesis 9 when Noah was a just man, Noah who built the ark. He didn't just pick Noah out of the blue. Noah was a righteous man who God saw, and he was righteous before he built the ark. Amen, somebody. Enoch, the scriptures say in Genesis 9:24, Enoch walked with God. He lived with God, and he was not. In other words, our faithfulness becomes before our charge. In the scriptures, it tells us in the book of Acts, you remember in Acts 6, when they were having this discrepancy with the Grecian Jews, and Paul told them, the apostles told them to select them from among them seven men of good reputation, of a good report. What do you mean? That means they had the good report before they started serving. And that comes before we start actively being out front to work for the Lord. Amen, somebody. And that needs to be stated, but God can use all of us. He can. And Luke had this reputation before he wrote the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Because you and I don't want to hear from anybody. Amen, somebody? Yeah, see, you know, it's one thing. I mean, you might hear a good sermon from somebody and don't know about them. But you find out that they have a bad reputation, you don't want to hear them anymore. Amen? Yeah, and so our reputation, the report. So Luke was selected by God. And the Holy Spirit used him to write this record. And you can tell that God used his intellect, the way he wrote it, the way he worded it. Listen to this. Listen to the purpose of the writing. And we know who Luke is, the purpose of him writing. And I want to do this in a series. I'm going to just stop at my allotted of time, but don't hold me to it. I really do, because there are so many lessons in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1, listen to verse 3. I'm going to read this again. It seemed fitting for me as well, having investigated everything carefully from the beginning, to write it out to you in consecutive order, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the exact truth about the things you have been taught. He said, Theophilus, I needed to write. I got two questions I want to quickly answer, ask and try to answer. Is it important to persuade someone of the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Is it important? Well, obviously, when we read Luke, he's writing to an officer, a man who seems to have high status, who really has already been taught, and it seems is a believer or is contemplating belief. And Luke goes through and writes this 52 chapter book directly to him. Now, do you know anybody that is important enough that you spend some intimate time in thinking about what you're going to say, talk right to them before you write it to them? And it means that you deeply care for their eternal souls. And sometimes we get too lazy when it comes to trying to convert folks to Christ. You know, we say, well, they heard the same thing I heard, and if they can't get it, we don't put enough into it. And here, I know it's important, persuading people. And the second question is, how can it be done? Is it important to persuade someone, and how can it be done? Believing in Jesus and his church is not just a leap of faith. Notice, without faith, it's impossible to please. And he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. But it's not just a leap out into the darkness. It's not just believe what I say just because I said it. It's not just blind faith. It's not just an arbitrary decision just to embrace something that we don't have proof and evidence or act. And because we live in a world, I mentioned this not too long ago, we live in a world that people seem to ask more questions. They want to know why, and they're not just taking us at our word. And even here, Luke didn't take for granted. Luke had strong faith. He had strong faith in Christ's teaching, but he was not content with the evidence that Theophilus had already had that he was going to be in the faith and stay in the faith. And he doesn't just pray that God gonna tell Theophilus all. He takes this intellectual task, and he writes this book for the sake of making sure Theophilus would be grounded in the faith. And he writes this book. And Luke praises study. Everybody say study.
Study.
Yeah. He praises study. You see, study is the opposite of blind faith. And the scriptures tell us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. And I appreciate our educational department placing more emphasis on the study of God's word. How many of you, if you have a Bible, raise your Bible up in here this morning. And I know some of us raise our, that's good. We have Bibles on computers. We have them on our phone, and that's good. I don't knock that. I use my phone sometimes for my Bible, and so those builders in here don't get frisky because you see someone looking at their iPad because all they have their Bibles on. Some of us builders we say they shouldn't be looking at that in church, but that's their Bibles. It's like this screen. We use it to put scriptures on the screen. Amen. So don't get frisky about it. But I appreciate our educational department stressing the study of the word. I'm engaged in a study on Wednesday nights on how to study the Bible. And we're in the book of, anybody in the class, we're in the book of what?
Philippians.
Oh, I didn't hear that many Philippians. We're in the book of Philippians. And so we're studying that. And we're stressing. And I, as a preacher, I want to stress more the church studying. See, I don't want to be the kind of preacher where we're going to go hear Brother Gary today and I'm going to get my church today and I'm going to get my feel of the word today. We want to be all studiers of the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
So I know probably 95% of the people, or maybe 98% of our of people in it, we can read, we like reading. We read all kinds of things. There's nothing better for you to read than the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
I don't understand it. You surely won't understand it if you don't. We have a term we use in our class. Let me give it to you. The term is SMA. SMA. How to study the Bible. What does it say? SMA. What does it mean? And how does it apply? What it says, you won't know what it says until you do what? That's all. That's just the first step. And Paul, Luke, listen, he praises study. Now, how do you know that, Brother Gary? See, in Acts, in Book of Acts, chapter 17. Now, remember, this is a two-volume record account. And he writes the first volume, Luke to Theophilus, and the first volume, Luke to Theophilus on the life and teachings of Christ. And those of you that have been coming to Bible class and you've been coming a while, you know, we did a study on the book of Acts, and it's about the history of the church. Hey, man, somebody coming to Bible class. It's about the history of the church. And I throw these little tidbits because, see, we all are trying to grow, amen? I know we are. Even those of us that's working, that's busy, we want to grow in the Lord, but it does not happen accidentally. Yes, you do pick up things when you're in worship, but we're all trying to go so we can be equipped to deal with this devil in this world. One sister told me that she's taking some classes, and she's in graduate school, and she's taking some classes, and she said, "Oh, Regera, I'm taking classes, and I'm just amazed. We read out of the Bible, we study the Bible, and come to the Bible." She said, I'm surprised at how much I know. Amen, somebody. But you don't know that just by osmosis. Yes. And see, our faith comes by, you have, how many times do I quote this scripture? Romans 10, 17. Our faith comes by, and hearing by what? So listen, brother, I'm struggling in life. I'm having all these problems in life. Lord, I don't know what I believe. Lord, have mercy. It's not going to get better on your own.
Amen.
It just don't happen. Oh, Lord. Listen, I know I grew up in the church. I heard so many sermons. I remember when I was young, I used to come to church sometime, Brother Foster would be preaching, and I would get smart. And I said, I think I heard him preach that before. But I'm just saying, you hear things, and I don't know, maybe that's what olderness does to you. But now I know some old people who, better not say that, but I cannot, I wish, and see, you can't tell people this. Some of the scriptures I heard when I was young, now I know what they really mean. and that does not happen by accident. And I understand what God is trying. I know what God is trying to do with me. Listen, I don't want to get sidetracked. I need to stop at 9 o'clock. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Now, these were more noble-minded. Why were they noble-minded than those in Thessalonica? For they received the word with great eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. And so Luke, he does not take for granted just that you're going to get it just because you've been coming to church. Theophilus had already been taught. Some of us know the plan of salvation. We know even the steps on what we must do to be saved, but that's not our problem. Our problem is when we get out of here and we face some of these demons out here and some of them challenge our faith, or they ask us a question, we don't know what to tell them. And he says, now, I commend those in Thessalonica because they've taken a step further. Not only do they listen to those apostles as they preach the word of God, the scriptures that they give, they go back and check up on them to make sure.
Amen.
Amen. That's where you get more out of it. And it absorbs in you. And you say, okay. Now I understand. Sometimes I've had some members, they send me questions, and boy, they make me study. Well, girl, I'm reading this, and I'm seeing what this is, and I want to get a better understanding of this, and I want your thoughts on it. So I have to go back and study some more, because I don't want to just give them a off-the-cuff answer. Amen. Yeah. And so notice what else he said. He writes also about the resurrection of Jesus and how the apostles came to faith. And I'm setting this, I'm gonna set this up for my next lesson. Is because, see, in the church, you know, you when you're telling people things about the church and what the church, why we do what we do. See, you can't just give people an answer you heard 20 years ago and think that they're going to understand it. Listen to Acts chapter 1, verse 3, Acts 1, 3. Now, we're in Acts. You remember that Luke, he wrote to them, he says, of the previous account, and Jesus, when he had risen from the grave, he talks to the apostles. Listen to verse 3. To these he also presented himself alive after his suffering. Notice, by many convincing proofs. Jesus knew that it was very important that he for sure grounded these apostles, that they absolutely knew without a doubt, and Jesus, though Jesus had already performed miracles, already told them some things, he comes back to them and he gives even more proof to solidify. Notice, if they needed proof, don't we need some proof? Amen. Listen, and then some of us grew up in a Christian environment. Some people do not. Some people don't grow up even hearing the Bible, and they need even more proof than you just telling them the Church of Christ is the only church that you can read about in the Bible. You better show them in that Bible. Amen, somebody. Listen to this now. He says, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things. What was he doing? Of the things concerning the kingdom of God. And so Jesus spent these 40 days solidifying, teaching, reteaching. And we see in the book of Acts chapter 2 when Peter preached the first gospel sermon that he laid out. He opened the doors to the church. And then the scripture saying Acts 2:41, if they continued, steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. What doctrine? The doctrine that they got from Jesus. Jesus spent 40 days teaching, proving to them, listen, this is the church, this is the kingdom, this is what you need to teach, this is what you need to preach. On the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, listen, I want you to break bread on the first. Where did they get it from? They got it from Jesus, because Jesus taught them that. That's why they met on the first day of the week. That's why we meet on the first day of the week. That's why we don't meet on the Sabbath day. And so it was taught to them. And Luke took this meticulous and he wrote this letter to this governor, to this high official, because he knew he had much influence. See, you say what you will about. There's some people who have more influence than others. You know, more people listen to them. And it's just a fact, you know. The word, they call it endorsements and advertising. You take, if you had a product like you were making soap, and it's best soap in the world. But don't nobody know it but you. But if you say, well, if you take Reginald DeRoe and say, Reggie, I need you to make a commercial for me. And the whole world knows Reginald DeRoe. And Reggie says, I use this soap. And all of a sudden, you got soap sales all over the place. Now, notice, I know that it necessarily should not be that way. But you know how people are. Listen, God used the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, who used to persecute the church, who was the enemy of the church. And God knocked Paul. Listen, Paul, no, he knocked Saul to his knees. And he Saul changed his heart. He changed his mind. Instead of working for the devil, if you will, he started working for who? Notice, and the world hadn't been the same since. And I say it because some of us, even in here right now, we have influence. Some of us in our families, if you get on the phone and call your people, say, you know what? We haven't had a family reunion in 20 years, and we need to get together. Now, everybody in the family can't do that. But some of us have that influence if we used it to do that good work for your family if you chose to do it. Amen, somebody. Everybody can't do that in the Lord's church, in this world. There are those of us who have that influence, and somehow we have been holding back on God. Well, we go to our job. Some of us on our job, we go to our job. You mentioned Mr. Jones's name. Yeah, you know Mr. Jones? Mr. Jones, oh yeah, we know Mr. Jones. And I say it because Luke, through the Holy Spirit, no, listen to this. This is in the Bible. He directs this letter to Theophilus in particular. And Theophilus obviously had been taught the gospel. But he wanted to make sure, Theophilus, because I know you will have influence on a whole lot of people, I want to make sure that you get this thing right. Amen. Just like the church is here today. Mm-hmm. And some of us have heard the gospel. And some of us in here still haven't obeyed the gospel. The one thing I've learned to stop doing, especially, I don't know if it's because our church size, there are listen, church members, There are a lot of people that come to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. You'd be surprised who's in here. I'm serious. I'm serious. I get calls. Yeah, I was there. I came by the church and people who are in different places and in places that they have influence. Some people come. Some people listen. Some people hear the truth. Some people are checking us out. Some people don't respond right away. And that's okay. That's fine if you want to do that. But I'm compelled as the man of God, as the preacher of God, to teach what the Bible says. But if you don't apply it, but listen, what does it say? What does it mean? But if you don't apply it, you've gotten smart, and you know more, you're dangerous now. Because if you don't do anything with God's word, and I wish the Bible doesn't tell us what happened after to Theophilus. It doesn't give us a record of what happened after Theophilus. But I do know this, a lot of time was spent on making sure that he knew what the word taught, and that is what we do every Lord's Day and every Wednesday, and when we come to Bible class, we want to increase our faith in God, that we have the tools not only to save others, but to save ourselves. Amen. You here today? Amen. This morning, and you're wavering. You're wavering. You need to obey God.
Amen.
Yes. To obey is better than sacrifice.
Oh, yeah.
And if you haven't obeyed God, you do it from the heart. And I know sometimes I'm trying to be a preacher that's somewhere in the middle. Now, what do you mean, Brother Gary? It's one thing to be intellectual with God and know, read the word and you know what it says, and that's smart. That's a good lesson, you know. But it don't touch your heart. Amen, somebody. Yeah, see, you know, because nobody want to hear somebody give an intellectual academic lesson and I've learned something today, but if it doesn't touch your heart, and I am talking about your emotions. That's still your mind. It's connected to your mind. But you listen, when you hear God's, it ought to compel, it ought to move you. And I'm just not an emotional person. All of us have emotions.
Amen.
We don't, see, listen, you, are you married? You got some emotions. Amen, somebody. You got some children. You got you like sports. You have some emotions. You get excited about. There ought to be something that you get that stirs you up, moves you, and motivates you. And I don't know anything better that should motivate us than to know, absolutely know. Hey, I want to go to heaven.
Amen.
I need to save my soul. That's some things I don't control. I don't have control over. And God is good. And it's good to know that the gospel can save a politician.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody.
The
gospel can save anyone. I don't care if you're the CEO. I don't care if you are the janitor. The gospel is for all of us, anybody.
Amen.
And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you need to come by faith, believing in Jesus Christ. We're gonna continue this study. That's some lessons in the book of Luke. Now, don't notice. This is what we can do together to help one another. Now, we got to know what it says. If we're gonna continue studying the book of Luke, what must you do? Do. Now, somebody got it. Read the book of Luke. And there's some more lessons we can glean from it. If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is what the gospel, it's the same gospel. Listen, Luke wrote the book of Acts. Peter preached the first gospel sermon. Luke wrote it just like it. Wrote his sermon out. Theophilus knew what to do. What was the sermon, Brother Gary? Jesus Christ came to this world. He lived. He died. He preached that to them on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem. They heard the message. They cried, men and brethren, what shall we
do?
What shall we do? And just like they had to obey something back then, the same thing we have to do today.
Amen.
There is something that we must do. That's a difference. And that's one of the difference you'll notice in I don't want to compare myself to any other preachers, but notice in some of the lessons you hear from preachers, God has done his part.
Amen.
Jesus came to the world, died for our sins, and Jesus is not going to die again. Some people, I'm going to be saved by the grace of God. All of us, God has already extended his grace to all men. That was his part. Now we have a part.
Yeah.
Amen, somebody? No, it's not that you just receive Jesus into your heart. Jesus already came. You need to believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins.
Yeah.
Notice, you must repent. How do you do that, Brother Gary? Luke 13:3-5. You change your minds. This is an operation you do. You can do it from your seat, where you are, but you, in your mind, you say, I no longer want to live a sinful life.
Amen.
Now, see, if you don't do that and you just get baptized, you're not saved.
No.
Brother Gary, the blood of Jesus cleanses. Yes, it does cleanse us, but your mind have to be right when you come to God.
Amen.
Amen. In Churches of the Christ, we don't baptize babies. We don't. We don't baptize babies because the scriptures say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now, a baby don't even know 2 + 2.
Amen.
So a baby can't believe. The scripture also says, I tell your neighbor, but except you repent, you shall also likewise. A baby does not need to repent yet. So why get baptized? So we don't baptize babies in the Church of Christ. Well, in this Church of Christ, we don't do that. Amen, somebody. Well, where we get, because we're not, what, well, I didn't know that. You won't know it if you don't. Listen, you're not the only one. There are a lot of people in those that's watching by tell. But girl, you hurt my feelings. I'm just, should that hurt your feelings? That's just the truth. It's not hurt. If you were baptized when you were a baby, that no sweat. Get baptized now that you know the truth.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah,
it's just plain. We're not against folk, but we're trying to teach what thus said. That's what Luke was trying to do when he wrote this letter, so you might know the exact truth of a certainty.
Amen.
And you don't have to ask nobody else.
Yeah.
So you can do the same thing. You repent. You will confess Christ, Romans 10:9-10, Matthew 10:32. That means to acknowledge that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And then be baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you're baptized in water for the forgiveness of your sins, when they ask the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? He told them what to do, and those that did that, the scriptures say, they that gladly received the word were baptized that day, 3,000. Now, why would you want to do anything different than what they did?
Right.
If you want to be
saved.
Oh, we got some studying folks in here.
Yes.
Amen. If you want to be baptized, if you want to be added to the body of Christ, to the Church of Christ, you read about in the Bible, Ephesians 4:4-5, then you do that. And you will be saved this morning. There's somebody in here needs to be baptized. Somebody needs to, if you need prayer, we'll pray for you. If you're here today, you need to get something right in your life. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song?
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God?